Please take your Bibles this evening and turn to Hosea chapter 6. We'll be considering together verse 3, Hosea chapter 6, verse 3. We considered last Wednesday evening verses 1 and 2. Direct your attention to verse 3. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. My dear friends, the God of heaven and earth is both ready and willing to give to his people copious blessing. He is far more ready and willing than we are to ask for it, to seek for it. We don't seek for it. We don't ask for it, first of all, because our minds are clouded by unbelief. We are slow to lay hold of God's promise, blessing. We have all sorts of objections that come, all sorts of extenuating circumstances that we bring under consideration. We have all sorts of other things that cloud and crowd out the thought of God in our minds. And we're busying ourselves with this thing and that thing. And the Lord is saying, I am standing ready and willing to pour out copious blessing if you would but ask for it and seek it. We're also prevented by our pride, our inability to see our need, how needy we are. You say, well, Pastor, we do know. We know that we're needy. We know that we're sinners and that we need the Lord's spiritual blessing and so on. Well, that's true. We're able to nod at that. We're able to affirm that. But we're not desperate. So when I say needy, I mean desperate, acutely feeling how greatly we need the Lord's blessing. And that is because of our pride. We think that things are better than they are, that we are better than we are, that we don't lack as much as we in fact do lack. And so pride crowds it out as well. And then we could go on. There are many other things beyond unbelief and pride that prevent us from seeking, earnestly desiring the Lord to rend the heavens and to pour out his blessing upon us. But be clear in your own minds. The lack of blessing has absolutely nothing to do with the Lord's willingness and readiness and ability to bestow it. So we've considered together last week verses 1 and 2, and I'm not going to rehearse the context, which we considered in terms of Hosea's time and ministry. But you'll remember that verses 1 and 2 bring this theme of turning to the Lord. So the theme of verses 1 and 2 is turning to the Lord. And we saw that the Lord in verse 1 calls us to return, that he's calling us to repent, to turn from sin unto him. We saw that He buoys this up with reasons. He gives us reasons for doing so, that he's willing to show mercy, to heal, and to bind us up. And we saw the reassurance which undergirds all of this as well. He's promised to revive us. We come to verse 3, and it begins with the word then. So having said all of this about our turning to the Lord, he says, then shall we know, and so on. In other words, he's giving us the consequence. He's giving us the result. He's saying, when my people turn to me, then this is what will happen. God will come to them. God will come to his people. Now, we're considering this in view of our fast approaching communion season, and a sense of anticipation and readiness and preparation for that. And these these words and the text, both verses 1 and 2, as well as verse 3, help us. God is coming alongside us as a shepherd. He's coming alongside of his flock, and he's instructing us, and he's directing us, and he's guiding us, and he's pointing us in the direction of very lush, very green pastures. He's pointing us in the direction of still waters that he would bring us near to. And so we should take heed to this. We should improve it. We should receive it. We should benefit from it. God sets in verse 3 a rich reward before us in turning to him. He sets a rich reward before us. And so with the Lord's people turning to the Lord, God, as you see in the title of our sermon, God is coming to his people. And we're going to see that he comes to his people in three different ways. God comes, first of all, God comes to bestow an increase of knowledge. So he comes, first of all, to bestow an increase of knowledge. Look at the text. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Now you'll notice that in our translation, the word if is in italics, right? Our translation is wonderful this way. It shows us when there's a word that's been added in order to kind of flesh out the meaning of it. But the word if is not actually in the Hebrew language. It's then shall we know. You could say if, you could say and. But it goes on, we follow on to know the Lord. If we follow on. So this isn't the picture of meandering. You know, you may be in a park and you're kind of following the signs, sort of, right? You're meandering through the paths and so on. No. When it says follow on to know the Lord, it's speaking about an ardent, it's speaking about an earnest, an eager pursuit. It's speaking about following on with a devoted purpose. Following on to know the Lord with an earnestness. So you imagine ladies perhaps losing a piece of jewelry, and it's expensive. Maybe it's an heirloom. Maybe it's something that's come down through the family, and you're aroused by it, and everything has to stop, and everybody else has to be recruited. And you begin searching and looking and ransacking. You look in the car and all the rooms in the house. You look in what you think are the least expected places. You look under everything that you can see and find. There's an earnest pursuit there in order to recover this piece of jewelry. Why do you do that? You do it because you're persuaded of the value. You're persuaded of how much you value the thing that has been lost. And this is the picture here, that the Lord's people are following on to know the Lord. They know the value of what it means to see him, to know him, to be experimentally acquainted with him, to have fellowship with him. And so they're set in earnest. And we have to see him. We have to know him. We have to grow in our vision of him and so on. And so the believing people of God set their hearts. They set their hearts to seeking the Lord, turning to the Lord, coming to know him. And the Lord is saying, yes, indeed, they shall know. Indeed, they shall go on to know far more than they have known thus far. You say, well, Pastor, know what? You know, what is it exactly that we shall know? The Lord tells us, you will find gold. You will find spiritual gold. You will be instructed in who God is, and you'll be instructed by God himself. In other words, the Lord will be the one showing you himself in ways that have never been revealed to you before, to depths and with sweetness that have hitherto not been known. The Lord will come, and he'll give a clearer sight of himself, and of course, that is the thing itself that the heart of the believer desires. And from that flows all of the fruitfulness of the Christian life. Holiness of living and death unto sin and growth in grace. It comes through the knowledge of who the Lord is himself. And so the Lord is coming and he's saying, I will come to my people. I will bestow the increase of the knowledge of who I am. I will come with bountiful blessings to those who turn to me. I will come and give them liberty in prayer so that when they go onto their knees to seek the face of God, he's saying, I will open a door and gales will come in. Freshness will flood into the soul, and I'll fill their minds and fill their hearts with a sight of me and enable them to humble themselves and to worship and to delight in me and so on. I'll give them liberty in prayer. I'll give a sense of my presence in ordinances, in the public ordinances. They'll see me. My felt presence will be known in the preaching of the Word of God and the singing of his inspired praise and so on. The Lord will come in the midst of our Christian walk and he'll give help in trouble. That help will be himself. We'll come to see more that the Lord is nigh, that he is with his people, that he's upholding, sustaining, carrying, bringing forward his people. He'll be a help in trouble to his people. We'll come to know more of the mind of God. Oh, to have that open to us. You know, we think in times how little is found in our minds, how much is lost in our minds, how little we know even of ourselves, much less of what others know. And yet the Lord is saying, you'll be able to have a knowledge of my mind. You'll be able to come up, as it were, as you often feel, lurking in the darkness, confused and blinded and unable to see clearly, seeing so little. The Lord says, I will come and I will bestow clarity to my people in the Word and in the understanding of the Word. We'll see the faithfulness of God in his covenant. We'll see his power and overruling all of the circumstances of time and space, his wisdom in ordering our lives, his mercy that he is bestowing upon us day by day, morning by morning, and so on. And the point of this passage is that the Lord God comes to bestow an increase of this, that there's an increase. They, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. It's an increase of God revealing himself, enabling us to lay hold of him and enabling us to see more of him. When he begins to do it, he will accelerate and exceed and extend further in all that he's begun. He begins to open a window to us and we begin to see more of his glory. And the Lord is saying, no, I will fling the windows open. I will increase all that you see and know of me, all that you have cause to revel in before me. Do you see this? The purpose, all that we saw last week of turning to the Lord, the purpose of turning to him is in order that we might know him, and in order that we might know more of him. The more turning there is in the hearts of God's people, the more manifestations there are of God to his people. Do you hear that? The more we're turning to him in all of the ways that we saw last week, the more manifestations there are of him. We see little and know little because we have asked little. We need to desire it. We need to covet it before the Lord. Sometimes I feel like we're like someone who has a bag that's full of holes, and even what we gather carelessly and we're tossing it into a bag and it's all falling out the other end. That's not what the Lord is describing here. He's saying, I'm going to fill you and sustain you in these things. He's going to make good on all of his promises to us. Well, this is our aim. This is what the Lord's promised us, what he calls upon us to ask him for. You remember, Paul expresses it in Philippians 3 when he says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained. No, no. He knows that's not the case. Either we're already perfect. No. But I follow after, he says. I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Here is the Lord mercifully coming to his people, promising them a wonderful increase of sight. You see it in Hosea's contemporary as well. In Isaiah 30, I believe it is. In Isaiah 30, verse 26, "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, and the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound." He says that moonlight that you knew before is going to become sunlight. And the sunlight that you knew before is going to be magnified 7 times in its intensity. This is happiness. The Lord is saying, can you see it? I'm coming to bestow this upon you in order to fill you with joy. This is happiness. What is the happiness of heaven? The happiness of heaven is the beatific vision. It's the blessed vision, the sight of God himself. It's beholding him in his glory. That's what heaven is. And the Lord is saying, we have a foretaste of that here. This is life eternal, that we might know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And so we're not to neglect the opportunities that the Lord gives us. We're to put forth that effort in, as the passage says, following on to know the Lord. We are to set our sights. The Lord is teaching us. He's saying, I will teach those who are weak, and I will teach those who are strong. It's no sense saying to yourself, well, I am so small and I'm so little. I have so little that I so capacity, and I've seen so little and I know so little and so on. The Lord is saying, it's to you that the promise is coming. I'm coming and saying, I'll bestow an increase upon you. I will bless you. In all of this, we see that the Lord is promising that we will thrive in the experimental knowledge of God, that he will stoke those fires, that he will bless us. And so as we take up the call to turn to the Lord, keep in your mind, the Lord is saying, I'm standing ready. I am able, I am willing to bestow the increase of knowledge. But then secondly, God is also coming to bestow light. He's coming to bestow light. It says his going forth, that is God's, his going forth is prepared as the morning. His going forth is prepared as the morning. The word prepared in the Hebrew is actually the word for decreed. So his going forth is decreed as the morning. And so just as God has said it in his decree that morning follows evening, evening follows morning, and morning follows evening again. And there's this cycle that in God's decree, he's established in the world so that you can be certain that when there's night, that morning will come. The Lord's the one who has established the turning of the seasons and all that is associated with it. In fact, Jeremiah uses this very point to describe the nature of God's covenant in Jeremiah 33. In verse 20, "Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken," and so on. He's saying, no, it cannot be. It is a covenant that endures. My covenant faithfulness is certain. Now, you and I, at times, we think to ourselves in our unbelief that it's all darkness. I'm down. I lack energy. I'm discouraged. I'm apathetic. I'm cold. It's darkness. It's winter in my soul. We think to ourselves that the darkness is covering the sun permanently, that we're left, this is the new normal, that this is the permanent state that we find ourselves in. And the Lord is saying, no, that God is coming to bring light to his people, that his going forth is prepared as the morning. In our times of humiliation, so indispensable, right? Brokenness is the way to blessing. In times of humiliation, or in times of trial, and in times of of tribulation. Those are night times. Those are night times for our soul. Right? They have all of the characteristics of that. Nighttime is fearful. Nighttime can be rather depressing. Nighttime has all sorts of attending circumstances that we associate with it. I remember, you know, I've spoken to some of our elders and ministers in the Highlands of Scotland who are fishermen who fish on the seas for a living. And you hear these stories of them out in the sea, way out in the sea, in a storm. And it's as if the night lasts forever. You know, waiting and longing for the sun to begin to appear over the waters. And we feel that way sometimes. The night times of our soul. Nighttime is also a time of inactivity. We might feel as if we've been set aside in sickness or other things, right? This is what the Lord Jesus himself says. Work while it is today, because night cometh when no man can work. And we think of nighttime as a time of inactivity. The Lord is saying, I'm coming. I'm going to come to my people who turn to me. I'm going to bring deliverance with them. I'm going to bring morning after the night to them. That light that cheers us, that light that revives us. You know, after a long season of night when we've been sick and awake and so on, and finally the dawn arises, and it's as if the sunshine is poured straight into our souls. So it is in the seasons that the Lord at times puts us through. Psalm 130, we sing, verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. The Lord is saying, I'm coming with mercies. He's going to bring the sun to rise upon us, the sun of righteousness who rises within his wings. What happens? When the sun comes up, it dominates. The sun dominates the atmosphere, right? It fills the earth that it shines upon with light. It dominates it. It scatters all of the darkness of the night. It's gone. It's driven away. The Lord says, that's me. I'm coming. Decreed is the morning. I'm coming to my people. Morning is coming. Sometimes it's the darkest before the dawn. And you know that the dawn breaks by degrees. You see the faint change in the dark sky, and then it changes further, and there's increase of light, and then there's the silver lining, and then more and more and more. And the Lord does this. He says, to whom much has been given, even more will be given. Right? He's causing the light to rise. He says, I will give even more to those who receive my light. Light will be added. It's like the grain of mustard seed, like the kingdom itself. A little tiny mustard seed. What is that? What worth is it? What significance is it? And yet Jesus says it grows up into the largest herb in the garden. So it is in the soul of God's people. He says that we're to open our mouths wide and he will fill them. Open our mouths wide and he will fill them. God comes bestowing light upon his people. But then thirdly, God comes to bestow showers of blessing upon his people. He comes to bestow showers of blessing. And he shall come. He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Children, God is the giver of rain. There are times, like we've had lately, and you may feel we wish the Lord didn't give us as much rain as we perhaps had over the course of a few or several days. But the Lord is the giver of rain. You know that. You remember, children, the story of Elijah. He has to pray to God and say, Lord, cause the rain to cease. It's God who does it. Turns off the spigot, no rain for 3 years. And it is Elijah who has to go back and bow down before the Lord and say, Lord, send the rain. Only the Lord can do it. He's the giver of rain. This is used in a number of ways in the Bible, and In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 24, it says this, "Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain." So here is the Lord, and we're told that he's going to come, and he's going to come unto us as the rain, the latter and the former rain. James picks this up. You remember, don't you? In the epistle to James, in the last chapter, chapter 5, he's quoting from this very text when he speaks about the Lord bringing the early and the latter rain to his people. What happens? What's the effect of that rain? What's the effect upon crops and so on? The rain comes down after a time of dryness. Everything begins to spring up. It becomes springy. It becomes green. It becomes bright. It begins to grow. It begins to flourish. It's looking lush. Pastures that have received rain or crops that have received rain begin to look abundant in their productivity. I mean, even the fruit begin to swell upon the bush or upon the tree. And blueberry farmers look for this rain so that those blueberries will become plump and juicy and so on. Why? Because without the rain, it would be barrenness. Things will dry up. Things will become parched. Things will shrivel. Things will become brittle. The fruit itself will begin to shrivel and fall off and be lost without harvest. There's a barrenness without the rain. The Lord's saying, I'm going to come to my church and I'm going to bring all of this vitality because I'm going to bring myself. I myself am going to come to my people and it's going to be like rain that will cause them to increase. My people will increase. There'll be growth. There'll be lavish abundance, fruitfulness because I have come in and among my people. I have descended upon my people, and under God's blessing, he says, we ought to expect this. We ought to anticipate it. We ought to seek it and ask for it. We ought to stand looking for it. We ought to pray for it. We ought to be discontent without it. Lord, come unto us as the rain, the latter rain and the former rain upon the earth. I've told you before, you need to master the Pentateuch. You need to know those first five books of the Bible and know them well, because all the foundations are laid there, all the themes, the theological ideas, the language, and you're going to find it repeated over and over and over again. You can go back and back and back. So you look at Deuteronomy 32, verse 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. God's coming here in his word. He's coming in his word. It's not the violent rain that destroys, but the gentle, the fine droplets, the small rain upon the tender herb in order to refresh it. And it's not as if the Lord will let us get away from this. He's put it in our songs for us to sing in Psalm 72, verse 6, which we'll sing later. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. This is speaking of Christ. And he's given it to us as a song in our mouths. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. I could give you other examples. Another one would be Psalm 133, that psalm that we associate with unity. Verse 3, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. You see the point? The Lord comes, and he comes suitably, he comes seasonably to his people, both the latter and the early rain. Remember, these who are receiving this prophecy at first live in an arid climate, not like ours, right? It's an arid climate. Their life depended upon the rain. Not only that there would be rain, but that rain would come at the right time and not come at the wrong time. An agricultural, agrarian society dependent upon it. And so they needed that early rain, right? The springtime rain, the seed time rain, when they've sowed the fields. They need the Lord to bring water in order that that seed might germinate and begin to grow. But then they need it also later. They need it in the late summer before the harvest so that the wheat would swell, the kernels and the fruit and vegetables and so on would all be brought to a rich harvest. They needed both the early and the latter. And the Lord is saying, God's time is the best time. He'll cover us in the early as well as the latter. He'll ensure that he's coming seasonably and suitably to his people. God is seasonable in it. Well, if that's true, then let us be seasonable in seeking it. Let us be seasonable in seeking it in our duties. One such season that is suitable is a communion season. We ought to be well-trained children. You ought to be trained from the time you are as young as you are able to listen and understand what Pastor is saying. When communion seasons are coming, those are holy and divine ordinances that God has promised, in which his presence and power are to be manifest. We prepare as the people of God for communion seasons. We are in serious dead earnest when it comes to these seasons. Let us be seasonable in our duties, undistracted. You can be sure can be, that when things like preparation for the Sabbath day and preaching that'll take place there, you're going to be entirely distracted. Saturday, Sabbath morning, all sorts of things are going to come in. You're coming and approaching a communion season, all of a sudden there's going to be all sorts of diversions, all sorts of distractions, things pulling and tugging our minds, our hearts, our affections, and setting us ill, you know, off kilter and so on and so forth. And the Lord is saying, prepare, set yourself in order. Here is the Lord who comes seasonably to his people. He plants them beside streams of living water in order that they might be abundantly fruitful, as we see in Psalm 1. We need to seek in order that we might find. If we seek, the Lord promises we will find. It's not if we seek, then it's possible, maybe, that we will find. The Lord says, you will find. You ask, you will receive. You knock, a door will be opened unto you. Here is the Lord, and he's saying, God himself shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. God cannot be hindered in this. When his people are turning to the Lord, when they're seeking the Lord and earnestly asking for the Lord's blessing and so on, there is nothing in heaven and earth that can stop him. There is nothing that can prevent him. There's nothing that can hinder him. He is coming ready and willing to bestow copious blessing upon his people, and the devil himself cannot interfere with it. It's impossible, as impossible as it is to stop the morning. Children, you can't say to yourself, well, you know, I want to sleep longer. I want it to stay dark. I'm going to hold the sun down. I'm going to keep it down below the horizon for a little longer today. That's not within your grip. It's within no one's power. That sun is coming up whether you like it or not. No one can hold back the rain. You think to yourself, we don't want it to rain right now. Can you run around and push all of the rain, every droplet back up into the sky and prevent it from coming down? No, you cannot. And when the Lord comes with blessing to his people, nothing can prevent it. It'll fall like the rain. It'll be unstoppable. He'll bring blessing to us. His blessings, he will rend the heavens. He will come down and pour out blessings from above upon us. God comes to bestow showers of blessing. Well, this is relevant for those who have not yet begun to seek the Lord. Those here and not here within our congregation who have not yet begun to truly seek the Lord. Think of this, my dear friend, my unconverted friend. The Lord is saying, I am willing, ready, able to bestow copious blessing upon your soul. Come to me on my terms. Come by faith and repentance. Turn to me. Come and lay hold of me and rest in me. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is saying, I will overwhelm you. I will come to you as the morning decreed. Light will shine upon you. I will come and there will be new eyes and a new vision of all that I am, and everything that you ever knew and everything that you ever saw will be forever different. Everything will have a new hue in the presence of the Lord. The Lord says, I will come and I will shower rain upon you. I myself will water you. You think of those who are spiritually careless, those who are professing and yet lethargic. Do you see, my friend, what you have to lose in not turning to the Lord? Are you getting a glimpse of all that you could lose in not turning to Him and not running to Him and not laying hold of Him? The Lord is saying, I will come and I will make you to know me, and I will make the morning, as it were, I will come forth as the morning to you. I will come unto you as rain. There are some who have but a spark in them, and that little flicker is flickering and flickering. The Lord is saying, seek me, and I will blow upon that flicker, and I will set it into a raging flame. I will warm your heart in the things of God. And I will refresh your soul, and I will comfort you, and I'll revive you, and I'll strengthen and quicken you, and I will bless you, and you won't be able to hold it back. And it'll come, and it'll come, and it'll come, and if you've sought me and turned to me, you'll get to the point where you say, Lord, enough! I can't take any more. I can't see any more. I can't receive any more. The Lord is saying, I will inundate you. I will saturate you. My friends, the blessing of the Lord is a reward in itself. Why is that? Because the blessing is the Lord Himself. Everything we've seen in verse 3 is the Lord coming. He is the reward. He Himself is the reward. His presence among His people. In Psalm 84, we sing in verse 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. One day, Lord, if we were to be given one day to be really with the Lord, to see Him, to know Him, the manifestation of His presence, we would trade that one day for a thousand of all of the other best days that we've ever experienced or even dreamed of experiencing. Oh, to be found in the courts of the Lord, with the Lord of the court, with us. This is a blessing the Lord promises to us. My friends, we need to begin seeking. We need to take everything we heard last week from verses 1 and 2 about turning to the Lord. And we need to add to it everything that we hear from verse 3. God coming to us in order that He might bestow showers of blessing upon us. If we are seeking the Lord, God will put wind in our sails and enable us to seek. If we would but seek, if we would begin to seek, if we would persevere in seeking, the Lord will come and He'll put a gale behind you. He'll carry you forward. Your seeking will all of a sudden be thrusted on, sped along under the Lord's own blessing. He'll draw you. He'll bring you with cords of love to Himself. You think of the end of Isaiah 40. But they that wait upon the Lord, that's a seeking. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What shall happen? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can you see it? Can you taste it? Can you hear it? Do you get a sense of it, my friends? God coming? God coming to us? God coming to copious blessings to shower upon us? Who can refuse it? Who can neglect it? Who can stiff arm it or turn away from it? Is it possible for us? God forbid that it's possible. Oh, that we would say, Lord, bring it. Come to us. Grant it to us. All that you've said, according to your own promise, keep your word. Do as you've decreed. Do as you have promised to us. Come, bestow blessing upon us. Turning to the Lord has tied to it inextricably God turning to his people, God coming to his people with blessing. My dear friends, the God of heaven and earth, hear me. The God of heaven and earth is far more ready and willing to bestow copious blessing upon us than we ever, ever are to ask him and to seek him for it. Let us turn unto the Lord and seek by his grace. Let's stand for prayer. O Lord, our God in heaven, the God of all grace, the God who is full of goodness, the God who is bountiful in bestowing blessing. O gracious God, come to us. Come in and among us. Come and grant to us, O Lord, above and beyond all that we could ask or think. Grant us blessings that we cannot contain. Bring, we pray, thyself to us. Enable us to have an increase of knowledge and of the sight of the glory of God and of thy grace. Come to us, O Lord, as the decreed morning, and shine upon us. Come to us as the rain, the latter and the early rain that falls upon the earth. For we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.